Today my guest is Kevin Griffin. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, David.
It's been like years.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's been a very long time.
My bad. Glad you're back.
Me too.
You did a talk today on what?
ASP.NET Quick Wins. It's a performance talk about the 20 simple things you can do to instantly improve the performance of your web application.
Ooh.
Without having to really redesign the entire thing.
Let's talk about a few of them.
Okay.
What's the single most easiest, fastest thing I could do to performance?
Well, let's see. I have gone into a lot of shops and I've looked at a lot of ASP.NET apps. And fundamentally, the first thing I always look for is debug mode.
Debug mode. Okay.
And
well, I always set it to release mode before I compile.
You do.
Up in Visual Studio.
And absolutely. And that does great things because it compiles everything without with optimizations and it works faster.
Mm-hmm.
However, in ASP.NET applications, we also have to check our web configs.
Ooh, I miss that stuff.
Because a default web config, if you have ever debugged it, will have a debug equals true for compilation. So what happens underneath the scenes is ASP.NET will load up and it will inject its own debug constructs for error handling and feedback for you. But you lose a little bit of performance when you do that.
All right.
And a lot of people forget about it.
I see. Okay. Well, that's a nice easy thing to do. In the web config, look for debug equals true and change it to debug equals false.
I recommend people use web config transforms.
Okay.
So if when I switch to release mode,
it automatically replaces that.
Takes it out.
All right, cool. What else?
Oh, wow. Let's go down the list.
Yeah, let's go down the list of most useful or most simple.
Okay.
And you don't have to do all 20 of them.
So another big thing I recommend, especially in this day and age with the cloud, throw hardware at a problem.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
It's so
buy me a bigger server.
Buy
me more memory.
I spend a lot of time in Azure. I deploy a lot of solutions to Azure. And when I'm in Azure, I can just move a toggle from one machine to two machine to six machines. And I instantly have more power.
Yeah.
The only thing you really have to be careful with is how well designed your application is.
Can it handle running in parallel?
Yeah, some apps only work well on one instance.
Yep.
As soon as you push them to two or three, your customers start seeing issues.
As you push a two, really, is often the case.
Yeah.
Because now you've got the same process running twice in parallel.
Exactly.
Potentially, and maybe deadlocks, or maybe orders important, or whatever. I always think about this. Many years ago, I was taught good programming practices, and you should do these things because you might want to scale out onto multiple web servers, because IIS supported that.
Exactly.
And I would listen very attentively and nod my head and then ignore it because I knew my app was never going to go on two machines because scaling out was hard.
Yep.
Until Azure.
Exactly.
And now because it's easy, now we have to think about it. It's likely that it'll run on 2, 4, 8, 16 machines.
And even if someone's not running on Azure, if you're running on your own server in-house or in a colo, you can also do a thing called a web garden.
Right.
And in IIS, if I have a 16-core machine, I'm really only taking advantage of a fraction of what that machine can do.
Hmm.
I can scale up the number of worker processes for a website or for an application pool, and that lets me handle a little bit more traffic.
I see.
Uses more CPU, uses more RAM. Mm-hmm. But if you have a beefy machine and you would survive in a scaled environment anyway,
uh-huh.
A web garden is kind of a good first push.
Sure, yeah. If you're not using that RAM and that CPU anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, might as well take advantage of it. You've already bought it.
Yep.
What else? Keep going. This is good
stuff. Let's see. Throw hardware at it. Debug mode. Let's talk about what we push down to clients. I see a lot of folks who don't turn on proper compression.
Mm-hmm.
In IIS, that's drop-dead simple. You select the checkbox. In most default configurations, IIS will compress static content without you having to do anything.
Mm.
But dynamic content, basically everything else, ASPX pages, mm-hmm. MVC views, raw content like that, anything that has to go through the ASP.NET pipeline is dynamic content.
I see.
Unless,
that's not compressed by default?
Well, if you have the proper modules installed, it will be. Okay. But I've gone to many environments where that module is just not installed.
I see.
Because it takes a person who knows what they're doing to go through and select all the modules that you need.
I see.
If you are setting up IIS on a server and you simply say, I want to develop web apps, it's not turned on by default.
Okay.
You have to go select the box.
All right. Yeah, compression is good. Related to compression, I think, is minification.
Minification, obfuscation, and concatenation. That's a lot of Asians, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll define those.
So the idea there is, if I have a lot of JavaScript, if I have a lot of CSS, we're good developers, so we separate our code into proper files.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's readable for humans,
yeah,
or
when
for other
when
developers.
We're developing, yeah.
But the machine doesn't really care. The machine right. just takes content and does stuff with it. So if I'm pushing JavaScript down to a web page, I really don't want a dozen JavaScript files. What I'd rather do is take all the JavaScript files, push them all together in one JavaScript file. That's concatenation.
Okay.
Then let me.
So just concatenation alone, you would get some performance increase.
You would, because if you're
20 files, 20 1K files down is slower than one 20K file.
I would probably not by much, because
yeah.
You would have compression kicking in as well, hopefully, if you have compression
okay.
turn on. So you have a little bit of overhead for each file.
Mm.
I don't know if it would necessarily be enough for anyone to even notice.
Mm.
You'd have to profile or something like that.
Oh, okay. All right, but minification certainly could help.
Yes. So after concatenation, we do obfuscation or uglification.
Okay.
So if I have a variable name that says my user, let's take that down to A.
A, because A is a shorter string than my user.
The tools are really good nowadays where they'll go through and scan your page and figure out where it can name things without having any sort of conflicts.
Sure.
And
I think Visual Studio does that automatically for you.
It will with Web Essentials if you go, well, I actually don't remember off the top of my head. Web Essentials, I think, will do a lot of that stuff for
I
you.
I see, okay.
But a lot of folks use build systems in Grunt or Gulp.
Okay.
There's also the old ASP.NET optimization framework, bundles, that would do that sort of thing for you as well.
Okay.
I see the team really pushing away from that and encouraging folks to use Grunt or Gulp.
I see.
So after you obfuscate, you have a much smaller file, then you get rid of all the white space, you minify.
Okay.
So let's take out all the comments, let's take out all the white space,
mm-hmm.
and now this file is perfectly packed.
Right.
Then after it's compressed, it should be a fraction of the size that it was before.
That's really about the download time in that case.
It is.
You have to download JavaScript before you can run JavaScript in the browser.
And we want to get it down as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Okay. What about caching? Seems like a good way.
Caching, absolutely. ASP.NET for the longest time has had caching built into it, the output cache directives. And what that lets us do is if I make a request for a web page or a resource, ASP.NET will cache it internally for a period of time, or unless something magical happens to invalidate the cache. I recommend, depending on your use case, that you at least cache for a second or two.
Mm-hmm.
Any content you have going out, it saves you enough.
Okay.
Because you don't have to reproduce that content over and over again. And if it's content that users are hitting on a regular basis, even if it's data that's changing minute or second by second or minute by minute, having some sort of output cache really will help your bottom line.
I found that hitting a database seems to be one of the bottlenecks in my application. Can I help? What can I do to alleviate that?
Well, I'm no DBA, so that's the first tip is if you have even a slightest thought that your issue is a database issue, find a DBA.
Okay.
It's kind of like if
maybe to optimize your data model or optimize your stored procedures, that sort of thing?
Yeah, okay. A DBA, most DBAs that I know, when they have the story of, we have a 3-day running query that we cut down to 5 seconds just by adding an index, they're not lying about some of these
optimizations. A good DBA really knows what they're doing. Developers, we know how to select, we know how to update, we know how to delete, but we don't know a lot about the internals of SQL Server or the database that we're using. We should get people that know that stuff.
Just about all the time. Give me one.
All right. Well, you should just hire me to come do all this work for you.
That's, how can we get hold of you?
All right. I'm on Twitter, at onekevgriff, or I have my website, kevgriffin.com. That's the easiest way. If I had to leave with one more tip, just things I have seen a lot in the past. And since we were talking about databases, let's talk about disposing resources. In a web application, it's really critical that we release all the memory that we allocate. And I've walked into too many scenarios where a SQL connection gets allocated but never disposed. So I just think sort of actually have a client that I was working with not too long ago where their connections were hanging open over and over and over again. I kept track of them and got up to about 14,000 connections before the application pool just crashed. And then they all get disposed. And it starts all over again. Make sure you're using a tool that will give you a little bit of guidance. ReSharper is a great example. ReSharper will tell you, you could wrap this in a using statement so it disposes correctly. Whenever you see that, you should probably follow the advice. Because your memory, you don't want your memory shooting up. You want it to stay pretty level. But yeah, there's a ton more. Actually, if you go to my webpage, I have a bunch of tips on there. So.
Excellent. Kevin, thank you so much.
My pleasure, dude. Behold, my friends, technology here, technology there, technology everywhere.